opened my mouth to speak. Before I could do the same thing, his mouth was on mine. And for the next 2 hours, I didn't think at all. But I felt a lot. And all of it was good. It was still dark when his shadow moved in the room. I lay in bed and watched him move. He didn't make a noise. It was weird. There was a rustle of clothes, but other than that, silence. Even as a shadow, I saw he had masculine grace. Powerful, masculine grace. That was weird, too. Just watching my mystery man putting on clothes was like watching a badass macho dance, if there was such a thing. Of course, there wasn't, except in my bedroom when he came to visit. No, when he was getting ready to leave. It was so fascinating I should sell tickets, but if I did, I'd have to share. I probably already shared with half of Denver, all of them getting their own private show. That already messed with my head enough. That and the fact that he came at all. I let him come, then he made me come, after which he came. Then, often like tonight, repeat. He moved to the bed and I watched that too. He bent low. I felt the heat of his hand on my knee, his fingers curling around the back. He lightly kissed my hip, his lips skimming across my skin, making it tingle. Then he slid the covers up my body to my waist, where he dropped them. I was mostly on my belly, but partly on my side. My arm was crooked, hand tucked under my face on the pillow. His body moved in that direction. His fingers slid under my hair, pulling it gently back, and his lips came to my ear. "Later, babe," he whispered. "Later," I whispered back. His head moved infinitesimally, and his lips skimmed the skin at the back of my ear before his tongue touched there. That made my skin tingle too, so much my whole body shivered. He pulled the covers up to my shoulder. Finally, he turned and he was gone. No noise, not even the door opening and closing. He was just gone, like he'd never even been there. Freaking crazy. I stared at my bedroom door a while. My body felt warm, sated, and tired. My mind did not feel the same. I turned onto my back and tucked the covers around my naked body. I stared at the ceiling. I didn't even know his name. "God," I whispered, "I am such a slut." Chapter 1. D-E-A-D. Dead. The next morning I was sitting at my computer in my home office. I should have been working. I had 3 deadlines over the next 2 weeks and I'd barely begun the work. I was a freelance editor. I got paid by the hour, and if I didn't work that hour, I didn't get paid. I had a mouth to feed, my own. I had a body to clothe, a body that liked all sorts of clothes. It craved them. So I had to feed the habit or things could get nasty. I had a cosmopolitan addiction, and cosmos didn't come cheap. And I had a house I was fixing up. Therefore, I needed to get paid. Okay, that wasn't strictly true. I wasn't fixing up my house. My dad did some of the work. My friend Troy did the rest. So I should say that I had a house I was guilting, begging, and emotionally blackmailing others into fixing up. But still, it needed fixing up, and cabinets and tile didn't march from cabinet and tile land into my house and say, "We want to live with you, Gwendolyn kid, affix us to your walls." That only happened in my dreams, of which I had many, most of them daydreams. Like right then, sitting at my computer, one heel on the seat, my chin to my knee, my eyes staring out the window. I was thinking about my mystery man, the great M.M. I was daydreaming about changing our first meeting, being smarter, funnier, and more mysterious, being more alluring and interesting. I'd hook him instantly with my rapier wit, my flair for conversation, my ability to discuss politics and world events intelligently. I'd tell my humble stories of expansive charity work all wrapped up with enticing looks that promised a lifetime of mind-blowing or